Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
I am doing Millennial Ben. Presented by Breaks Plus. This one comes in from Jim, who asks, Mark, did the Patriots signing of Cam Newton push the Broncos out of a playoff position? Considering Bill Belichick's ability to get players and put them in position to succeed, on paper, Cam is probably the best quarterback in that division right now, and I think they will win the East. Oh, don't tell that to D-Mac and his love affair with Josh Allen. My goodness, I was listening to him rhapsodize about Josh Allen. I hope he doesn't think this way, but man, the way he pines for Josh Allen.
Right.
I hope secretly he's not rooting for Drew Locke to fail just so that he can say, ah, I told you so. They should have drafted Josh Allen.
No,
I mean, the way he goes on about Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Makes me wonder, does he really want Drew Locke to succeed?
Well, he just
That's a fireball right there.
That's a fireball.
Do we have the fireball? Do we have the fireball? That's a fireball. That was a fireball.
He threw it right at him.
I don't think it's so much that he wants Drew Locke to succeed. Yeah, he just wants his theory of take a quarterback, any quarterback, doesn't matter who the quarterback is, as long as you take him in the top 10, that guy's going to be, you know, going to be a franchise player. Josh Rosen obviously is the outlier. He doesn't count. You know, and anybody else who doesn't have success, just the guys that have success, right? So, you know, again, we'll see exactly what Josh Allen becomes, but I kind of tend to agree. I mean, you look at the New England Patriots last year, they were a top 10 team in every defensive category, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like a top 10 team in every defensive category.
Oh, they played a really soft schedule, but
Are they not going to play another soft schedule this year? They play in the AFC East. Of course, it's a soft schedule. You've got the Dolphins, you've got the Jets, and you got the Bills. Two games apiece. I mean, yeah, it's soft. They played in a soft schedule.
Stokely thinks the Bills sweep the Patriots this year.
Stokely also thinks the Broncos beat the Kansas City Chiefs this year.
I am hotter than a red pepper.
He guaranteed a victory in the match, in the fan match challenge.
Good point.
I mean, yeah, Stokely wouldn't show his scorecard. I mean, come on. Like, let's just pump the brakes on Stokely for a minute.
Another fireball right there.
There's a lot of fireballs right now. So, I don't doubt that I didn't doubt that the New England Patriots would have a chance to win that division with Jared Stidham playing quarterback.
Their schedule's a lot harder than you think.
Now, let's see.
They go to Seattle. They go to Kansas City. They got San Francisco at home. They got Baltimore at home. They go to Houston.
Yeah.
They go to the Rams. In addition to playing the AFC West. Raiders at home. Broncos at home. At the Chiefs, at the Chargers.
Interesting. Listen, they're all tough. And you know, the way that the rosters are created nowadays, you're one injury away from having a really solid roster to having a very average roster, depending on what that injury is.
Boy, the AFC is going to be fun to watch. The only teams I'm ready right now, there are 16 teams in the AFC. The only teams right now I'm ready to eliminate from playoff consideration.
Okay.
The Jags.
Yes.
The Bengals.
Yes.
The Dolphins.
Okay.
The Jets.
Yes.
That's it.
What about the Browns?
Nope. Hey, whatever we want to say about the Browns, and we loved mocking the Browns last year.
Right.
They are talented.
Oh, there's no question there.
Okay, well then just by virtue of the talent there, you can't dismiss them.
Well, I mean,
now they'll probably find a way to screw it up, underachieve, but doesn't matter. They are still in the mix.
All right, I'm just kind of going through Cincinnati, you Miami, Jets, Cincinnati,
and Jacksonville.
I agree with that. Jacksonville, yes.
And then who you want to throw out? Who does not have a chance to compete for at least a wild card? Oakland, Denver, Kansas City, Colts, Titans.
Yeah, my next team,
Texans.
My next team on that, Mike, on that list would be Cleveland. Like if you were going on that list and said, okay, let's say you had to pick four instead of three, number four would be Cleveland. Just because of, not because of talent, just because of.
I already gave you four. You mean number five?
You gave me four. Miami, the Jets, yes. Cincinnati,
and Jacksonville.
Yeah, if I had to go five deep, Cleveland would be my next one.
Yeah, but I'm not saying you have to go five deep.
No, I'm just telling you. I'm agreeing with you, essentially.
You can't eliminate them right now. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I could eliminate.
You can eliminate them.
New coaching staff and lack of emotional maturity. And yeah, I would eliminate them. But yeah, they've got a lot of talent.
So 12 of the 16 teams, realistically, you can say, are playoff contending teams in the AFC.
Yeah.
It's going to be a free-for-all. A free-for-all. Especially for that wild card spots. I mean, if you're conceding the Chiefs in the West and Baltimore in the North, then you got New England, Buffalo. Somebody wins the division, the other team's right there probably right in the wild card mix. Houston, Tennessee, Indy. You decide who you think wins the division.
Yeah, roll the dice there.
And then those
right?
other two teams are right there in the wild card.
You gotta put Pittsburgh coming
back. Of course
back
you
with
do.
Roethlisberger.
Absolutely. And then the Broncos, Raiders, and Chargers. Unless, I don't think you will because we did this exercise. We did the tail of the tape like a week ago. We compared the Broncos rosters with the Raiders rosters and the Charger roster, and you said, after we did the tail of the tape, that the Raiders and Chargers have better rosters than the Broncos, top to bottom.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're all really kind of neck and neck, very close, but I think that I would edge, based on lines of scrimmage, Mike, that I would edge both the Raiders and the Chargers.
I love this text. Evan starting crap with DMAC. I start crap with DMAC? It's 1,000 times the other way around, dude. He goes, W2F, dude. You're a turd. Let me tell you something, dude. Let me tell you something, dude. That goes entirely the opposite way. I was minding my own business yesterday, not bothering anybody, and all of a sudden he went on a Twitter rant about Cam Newton to the Patriots
Twitter.
And why the Broncos would be in the playoffs right now if they had drafted Josh Allen instead of Bradley Chubb. And why does he hate Bradley Chubb?
I don't know why he dislikes.
Why does he hate Drew Locke?
Right.
Because he's just got this infatuation with Josh Allen.
Well, because it fits the take a quarterback, any quarterback in the top 10, and you automatically win.
Yeah, but if he had had it his way, he would have taken Baker Mayfield or Sam Darnold before, or Josh Rosen before he would have taken
Josh Allen. We got a Jackson 5!
Yeah,
he's hitching his wagon to Lamar Jackson, which is fine. But his whole quarterback strategy, he has moved the goalposts so many times. He's got all these little provisions and rules. Well, you know, you're better off if you take him in the top five. Don't take anybody in the 20s. But as much as it's important that you take him in the top five, you can also take him, 31 or 32.
Right.
I mean, Lamar Jackson went like, what? Five or six spots ahead of, what was it, 10 spots ahead of Drew Locke? But, you don't draft Drew Locke. But you draft Lamar Jackson, who went literally like 10 spots ahead of where Locke went.
Since we're on the topic, let me ask you this. And so I ended up talking to Billy Devaney yesterday.
Who's he?
Billy Devaney was the scout who scouted me and then brought Joe Bugle back to Idaho to work me out individually and then ended up being the GM for the Rams for many, many years. He's been an NFL guy, you know, forever. And so we just caught up because of the passing of Joe Bugle and we've always been, you know, we've always had a good relationship. And, you know, we were just kind of shooting the breeze about just, you know, NFL in general and just philosophical approach to different things. Now, here's what I would ask you, because we started talking about how important it is to get drafted to the right team, to the right system, with the right coaches, right? Like, there are guys that could handle Joe Bugle. There are guys who couldn't handle Joe, just like Alex Gibbs. There are guys who can't play for Alex Gibbs. They just can't handle him. And there are guys who can. And you got to be in the right system with the right people, right? How many different teams do you think that Lamar Jackson would be successful for? Like, how many teams would say, let's scrap pile our whole offense? Let's just scrap pile it. Just dump it.
Ooh, great question.
And let's dump it completely, and then let's revamp the entire offense to fit his skill set. So you're asking 11 other guys to sacrifice what they've done their whole careers, or 10 other guys, excuse me, math, to reconstruct an offense for this one guy. And then you're saying on defense, let's make sure that we also create a complementary aspect on our defense. So we're going to change what we do defensively as well. So we've actually asked, there's 22 starters, 21 other guys to sacrifice because this guy's got such a unique skill set. I would venture to guess, Mike, Baltimore is one of one.
I would put two other teams in there that'd be willing to do that and see if you can notice the common denominator.
Okay.
I think New England would be one.
Okay.
And I think Seattle would be the other. If they didn't have Russell. I'm talking about.
Right.
But what's the common denominator? You got three head coaches, none of whom are offensive guys.
Mm.
An offensive guy isn't going to draft a Lamar Jackson because
he doesn't fit his system.
And who's going to be most steadfast and probably resistant to change is a guy who got where he got because of his offensive acumen, and now he's a head coach. You think he's going to flush all that out? No
right.
way. He's just going to look for quarterbacks that fit what he does, not the other way. Guys like Harbaugh, special teams background. Belichick, special teams defensive background. Carroll, defensive background. They look at it, and they look at it more from the standpoint of, what would it be like to try to defend this guy?
Right.
And they're going to be more open to it. I mean, just look at what Belichick just did. He signed Cam Newton. You think he's going to run the same offense with Cam Newton that he's run with Tom Brady the last 20 years?
Absolutely not.
No way. So, to your answer to your question, three coaches, three teams. That's it. So this notion that everybody missed on Lamar Jackson, if Lamar Jackson gets drafted by the overwhelming majority of teams, he's not the same guy. Especially if he goes to a team with an offensive-minded head coach.
Right. If he gets drafted to a majority of teams, he never thoroughly gets the opportunity to be a quarterback. He's always a gadget dude. He's always all right, put him in here and we're going to run we're going to run whatever it is we're going
to
run.
Plus, like, it's got to be a coach, to use the word you used earlier today that I loved, cachet.
Yes.
It's got to be a coach. It's got to be a proven coach. It's got to be an established coach who's willing to just say.
Yeah, it can't be Zach Taylor.
Right.
Right, from Cincinnati.
Right, or even a guy, give me another defensive-minded coach, head coach in the NFL.
Vic Fangio.
Wow, Fangio, but Fangio doesn't have cachet.
Right, he coached in the league for 30 years without getting his first head coaching opportunity.
Now, could you see a guy like Tomlin doing it? Pittsburgh?
I could see. Well, Tomlin had a guy named Duck playing for him.
Right.
I mean, How could that ever? Like, but the point being for D-Mac, who would have just been like, take Lamar Jackson at five overall, and like, because that was part of, you know, the narrative that he was talking about. You think this team wouldn't have embraced his skill set that way? They wouldn't have changed everything they do, would they? I just don't believe so.
Texter asks, Evans, why do you hate Josh Allen? I don't hate Josh Allen. I think Josh Allen's a great story. Wyoming kid. I don't hate Josh Allen. I'm just annoyed by D-Mac's over-the-top love of Josh Allen and the fact that he overlooks the fact that Josh Allen orchestrated an offense that was 23rd in the NFL in scoring last year. Okay? The Bills got to where the Bills were because of great defense, special teams, mm-hmm. running the football. Okay?
They ran this. And he was part of the running game.
Right, and he's a run. But if you think that him being a running quarterback is a long-term formula for success, it's not. So I just, when it comes to how I, Mike Evans, see what I did there?
Mm-hmm.
View the quarterback position, I put more of an emphasis on being able to throw the football. And I look right. at a quarterback's ability to throw the football and score the football. Right. And, you know, to this point, Josh Allen's a good quarterback. Okay, he's a good quarterback. But he benefits far more from the supporting cast that he has in Buffalo than Bills.
Then the supporting cast benefits from him. So just look at, all you have to do is look at the Ravens and how remarkable they've been in the last couple of years. Look at their playoff. Here's the point about the Baltimore Ravens. They are a nightmare to deal with. They are a nightmare to prepare for. 1 week does not give you enough time. They're a nightmare, Mike. If they're behind, if they're down, then they're in trouble. They have to play even or with the lead so they don't get out of what they do well. If they get out of what they do well because the score gets lopsided, let's say there's a turnover, pick six, you take a drive, you make a big play because they're a zero coverage team, and you pick up the blitz and you throw one down, and all of a sudden you're up 14-0, it's the first quarter, that game is over. If they get out of their rhythm, if they get out of what they do, if they get out of their ability on third down and six to still run it and convert, like when they get to the point where they gotta throw it, they're in trouble. And that has been proven. That has been proven in the games they have lost. That has been proven in the playoff games they've lost. When they have asked Lamar to, hey man, you gotta throw it and everybody knows you're throwing it, they are woefully inadequate. That's not his forte. Now when they're balanced and they're running the snot out of the ball and they're getting them seams that are one-on-one wide receiver, you know, Hollywood Brown versus safety, they'll eat you alive. I mean, they'll eat you up and spit you out. So I'm with you. I would rather have a guy that can eviscerate you from the pocket. But what they're doing and the fact that they've changed the entirety of what they are and who they are based upon that dude shows you what a great, that's why I said, I hope they fire John Harbaugh and I hope we hire him in 2 seconds.
Yeah, I like Harbaugh. I like Harbaugh a lot.
I do too. John is a great dude.
I you know me, players more than coaches always. Mm. And even in the case of Harbaugh, I still say it's more about the players than it is him. But if you're looking at that really, really short list of coaches that really make a difference, yeah, I'd put Harbaugh right up near the top of that list. Here's one. If the Broncos wouldn't adjust their system for Paxton Lynch, then they wouldn't have done so had they drafted Lamar Jackson. Does this qualify as Yes.
Yeah.
Haven't extended the streak. Paxton Lynch smear campaign day number 2019.
But let me ask you.
By
this.
The way, can I just? This
yeah,
has
please.
Always bugged me.
Okay.
All right. And this is going to take care of the smear of Paxton very easily. I have heard that so many. I heard it so many times while he was here. I heard it so many times after the fact. The excuses from the Paxton camp was that the Broncos never coach to his strengths. Never developed a system built around Paxton Lynch's strengths. What exactly would that have looked like? Because I get what you're talking about if you build an offense around Lamar Jackson.
Right.
Lamar Jackson has a particular set of skills.
Mm-hmm.
What exactly does an offense tailored to Paxton Lynch look like?
Oh, well,
help me with that.
Oh, I know exactly what it looks
like.
What?
As a team, we're getting tall.
It looks like a big, giant television screen with an Xbox hooked to it. That's what it looks like.
So what? You're going to take advantage of his mobility? Yeah. You're going to ask him to run around like Lamar Jackson does? He's going to get killed. You're going to ask him to run around like Cam Newton does? He's going to get killed.
Even if he doesn't get killed, he's going to cry on the sideline. So here's the problem with that, is that for you as an organization to invest in that guy and to change your offense to his skill set, he's got to show you, one, that he cares, and two, that he has a skill. So if he never shows you any of that, don't be mad at Paxton Lynch. Be mad at John Elway for drafting Paxton
Lynch.
Okay,
but Mark, even let's say he had shown that he gave the damn.
Okay,
I'm going to be blunt. He didn't. Let's say he had showed that he did.
Let's show that he had a heartbeat and that it actually mattered to him.
Right, that he wasn't the last guy in and the first guy out. Let's say this guy actually came in and said, look, I want to succeed. Okay. How exactly do you develop a system built around Paxton Lynch's unique talents? I've challenged people for years with that. What does that look like? How does that look so different than what most quarterbacks are asked to do in the NFL? You got a guy who's 6'7", is athletic, but still, he's not exactly going to just be making people miss all over the place. So
I like how you did that.
Yeah, I just did give a little shoulder wiggle
You were right. Like there was no way I was looking at you and go, I can't keep my eyes.
Right, exactly. I'm making you dizzy. I'm looking so fast.
We didn't have great eyes.
Please enlighten me, folks. I encourage you, all you people who believe that they just didn't coach to Paxton's strengths. What were they?
Right.
What was that going to look like? How was that going to be so revolutionary? How was it going to be so different?
By the way, you did, and I know that now I'm going to get all the Gary Kubiak haters out here, but when you start running the wide zone system, i.e. what they do, you know, what they do in Minnesota right now, what they do in, you know, in San Francisco, the boot keep game becomes such a big part of that, where you can develop, you can find yourself 8 to 12 easy completions a game if you run it well, if you flag that ball out there, some of the play action stuff that comes off of that, all the boot keep, the naked game, and then with the read zone aspect that they can implement in that as well, you could find things that theoretically Paxton would be pretty good at. The problem was that he didn't show a heartbeat. Like it just didn't seem to matter. And I think it's really hard to turn over the keys to the Ferrari, you know, I mean, not that the offense was a Ferrari, that's probably a bad example, to turn the keys over to the Pinto, you know, if you know the likelihood is the Pinto is going to be crashed and it's your only mode of transportation to get you to your job. Maybe the Pinto is not a good, what would be the appropriate, you know, for that all, and then that offense coming off a Super Bowl championship, you know, with, they still had DT, right? They had Emmanuel, pretty good there, right? Like,
I think it would have been like the Ford Taurus offense.
Ford Taurus.
Solid, reliable.
Chevy Malibu.
Yeah.
It's going to get you there.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, it's not like we're going like full Yaris.
Yeah, no.
We're not going to go that bad.
We're not going to buy a Yugoslavian car or something. Is that a Yugo? The Yaris?
What'd you call it? The Yugo?
Yeah.
Yugo.
Yeah, well, Yugo was that the Yugoslavian?
Yeah, it was the Yugo. Was the,
oh, okay.
It was like the modern day version of the, it's the Yaris now, and then it used to be the Yugo. Remember the Yugo?
Yeah, the Yugo.
All right. Hey, a little baseball note to pass along quickly. The Rockies have moved on from Ian Desmond. They've signed Matt Kemp to a minor league contract. Now, that's interesting.
Matt Kemp. Well,
Matt Kemp loves Coors Field.
When was the last time Matt Kemp played? Did he play last year?
Ben, some very quick, I know we got a break, quick FRE music right here.
The Huff chimes in. The Buick Skylark.
Who's this the Huff you speak of?
Some guy that used to work here. No, he still works here.
Kemp played last year. Played 20 games for the Reds.
Okay. All right. That's...
But just 2 years ago with the Dodgers, 2018, hit 290 with 21 home runs and 85 runs batted in.
Nice.
And he loves Coors Field.
Loves him.
Loves. Oh, my goodness. This guy rakes at Coors Field.
Does he love Coors Field or does he love Coors Field pitchers?
Ah, good point.
Yeah.
Key distinction. Okay. Coming up next, what ESPN, the odds makers, the projections have in store for the Nuggets in the playoffs. And this hint, it's not good. That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans here. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options, such as zero money down or 0% financing for 84 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar has over 1,800 new and used cars on site and at sthmotors.com. And number three, location. Siltahar is right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, and they will deliver any vehicle to your home for a test drive or after purchase. Visit sthmotors.com and get everything you want out of a dealership.
So the Rockies have moved on from Ian Desmond. Well, Ian Desmond moved on from them, and they've replaced him with a Matt Kemp signing. Minor league deal. Kemp's career at Coors Field. 86 games, 327 batting average, 21 home runs, 77 runs batted in, and OPS up over 1,000.
Here's the big difference, though.
He has not hit... I'm trying to think. The only other park he's hit more home runs at.
Ah, Rush.
Good call. It's San Diego. Although, did he play for the Padres? Hold on.
I just remember Matt as a Dodger.
You know, he actually played a couple years with the Dodger, San Diego. Okay. So, yeah. So, if you're talking about just the best ballpark for him as a visiting hitter, without a doubt, it's Coors Field.
Yeah, but here's the difference, okay? This is what you got to think about. Now he's going to be facing pitchers from the Dodgers, not facing pitchers from the Rockies. So if he was
good point.
If he was batting for the other team, like if we signed him to be a pinch hitter for somebody else, we'd be in trouble. I don't know how he's going to fare against Dodger pitchers.
Oh, we'll see. So that's the Rockies move.
All right.
As we get ready for the return of sports, hopefully, basketball.
Wait, let me interrupt you really quick. Has hockey found a...
They're still figuring out the hub city.
The hub city. So they're still looking.
Yeah, hockey just has me...
It's like that show on PBS back in the day. Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? Like, where is this... utopia that is the hub city. It's like finding what's the city under the sea?
It's like
Atlantis.
Yeah. Like where is the NHL's Atlantis going to be?
Yeah.
Right?
They need
the
that.
Lost city of the NHL.
Right. They need that submarine. You know that what was the sub captain? What was that show?
20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Yeah. What was that? What, Nemo? The Nemo or something?
I think the ship was the Nemo, wasn't it? I don't know.
They need to load up on the Nemo to find Atlantis.
Man. Yeah, the NHL. Yeah, I just. You know when you kind of take your thumb and point your finger and you just kind of like squeeze your eyes together and you're like you got a tension headache forming.
Right.
That's kind of how I react when I think about the NHL and how they're just slow playing everything right now.
You know how I think
about... Just pick a city, will ya? Let's go.
You know how I think about them? I think the NHL has literally hired Peter Sellers from the Pink Panther to investigate where the best hub city could be, right? Is that your dog?
That's your dog.
Does your dog bite?
I'm my dog.
I thought you said your dog doesn't bite.
Oh, by the way, sad news. I mean, what a great life, though. Carl Reiner passed away today. 98.
Yeah, how about that?
That's a life. That is a life.
Yeah.
The stories that he could tell. Wow. 98 years old, Carl Reiner passed away. All right, so this NBA thing, first of all, let us confirm and clarify why they're playing these eight games to finish out the regular season. It's just simply to fulfill the contracts that they have with all these regional sports networks.
Correct.
There are a bunch of regional sports networks around the country showing NBA basketball, NHL hockey, and in those cities, fans can see those games. But anyway, they need to fulfill those contracts, which is part of the reason why they're playing these eight regular season games.
Well, now wait. Should they have to play those games?
Well, technically they're on altitude, but like, you know.
Other people's like regional.
8% of the people that, you know, watch the Nuggets and Avalanche use that. Look, these are the facts. 90% of the people in Denver who watch the Nuggets and Avalanche do so on Comcast. So, you know, this notion, well, just switch to DirecTV. No.
Right.
Work out a deal for the 90% of your customers that watch you there.
The Nuggets have to fulfill...
The onus is on you to work out a deal for the vast majority of your constituents. So
they have to fulfill the other RSN contracts. All right, I get it. Right?
It's Captain Nemo and the Nautilus.
Captain Nemo and the Nautilus.
Thank you. God, I love our listeners.
Yeah.
I love our Rumelslaw.com text line. It's like my own personal Google.
It is.
It really is. I don't even need to go to Google. I just say, listeners, tell me, name of the ship and captain. Boom.
Nemo and the Nautilus.
Mm-hmm.
They got Peter Sellers Nautilus right now looking for... Atlantis.
So it's okay, eight games. That's because otherwise, what's the point? Because, yeah, I suppose seeding can be impacted, and yeah, I guess it can affect who you play. But it's not like you're playing these games with the idea of we're trying to draw this team in the first round or trying to avoid this team in the first round. I mean that only happens if you get down to like the last game and you're just like, well, maybe we don't want to play this team, so let's, you know, tank it or something. But by and large, what are you playing these games for?
Yeah, for home court advantage,
right? Whether it's in the first round or to be able to get home court through the second round or home court throughout the entire, they're playing at a neutral site.
Right.
There's no home court advantage.
Is there a way to create a home court advantage?
No. These are going to be.
What have you decorated with your like stencils and, you know, party favors that are your team colors? No?
No. And that's one of the reasons why maybe the Nuggets aren't talked about as a legitimate championship, even finals contender. ESPN did their projections for the playoffs, had some kind of plus minus type formula, all this type of stuff.
Right.
So they have the Nuggets with a 51% chance of finishing with the third seed. Their most likely opponent would be Oklahoma City. Now here's where it gets bad. According to ESPN's projections, the Nuggets would be an underdog in that series against Oklahoma City.
Right.
There, slim chance of making it to the conference finals.
Okay, let me ask you this. Likelihood for you, Nuggets, getting to the Western Conference finals or getting bounced in the first round? What's more likely?
Oh, to get beat in the first round.
I agree.
So the neutral court format.
Really hurts them.
Really hurts them.
Yeah.
Because there's a vanilla sameness to the NBA now and the NHL. I don't know how many real legitimate.
What team would have more of a home court? I don't know that any team has more of a home court advantage than the Nuggets have.
No, ever since they moved into these brand new antiseptic arenas that everybody plays in, there's no home court, there's no home ice advantage other than the quality to the team that's playing at home.
Right.
But there was a time where there were arenas that literally gave you a home court advantage. You know, the old Boston Garden, the old Montreal Forum, Chicago Stadium. There was just something about those buildings that gave you an advantage. Now everything's the same. They're all cookie-cutter stadiums and arenas. So when you talk about the few legitimate home court or home ice advantages, the Nuggets and the Avalanche actually have one because of the altitude.
Right.
Now, it's not the end-all, be-all. Altitude didn't bother Portland in Game 7 of that series last year, but it can be a factor, and now it's not.
Mike, it affects you. It affects you during the season, right, when you know you've got, like, a back-to-back or whatever, and it affects you in a seven-game series where you know, hey, guys, we better take care of our home court because it's going to be hard to win in Denver. And hey, one game in Denver for all the marbles, throw it out the window, right? But over the, you know what I'm saying? Over the course of it affects your mindset and the way you approach, like, hey, we can give one up here. We're going to go back and win two. We'll be okay. Like, there's a mindset like, hey, let's coast in this one because we want our two at home. We'll coast in this one, save energy to get back home to win. Like, there's that aspect to it. Now, if it's game seven in Denver, throw it out the window. You're going to go, you know, full go Woody Lowe until somebody drops. And, you know, that's what Portland was able to do.
Coming up, Mark's love-hate relationship with Pro Football Focus gets tested again. That's next. Mark, it is with a certain amount of trepidation that I share with you what your friends at Pro Football Focus have come up with.
We are so tight.
When they rank the best rosters in the NFL. So Pro Football Focus, they're all about their grades.
Yes.
They have their formulas.
Yes.
You have a love-hate relationship. There's part of what they do that you like and agree with and respect, although most of that is all wiped out by the fact that they seem to really like Garrett Bowles.
Holding offense, number 72.
Yeah, there are some. I have a few issues. What I really have an issue with, what I take umbrage with, if you will, is that they constantly, like, grade things and performances on game plans and techniques that they don't know. Like, You're grading a player.
There's not a whole lot of context to their grades.
Right, exactly. Right? And they'll sit there and say, well, that's what everybody does come draft time. You grade a player and project a player. You're not grading his game film. You're grading his ability to move, his ability to sink his hips, his ability to block. Like, you're not grading, like, he got a plus grade on this. The other thing that I find is you're grading guys based upon, like, did they get a guy blocked? Well, there's a plus. Well, what if you got a guy blocked and you used absolutely horrid technique inside a facility? If I get a guy blocked, Mike, but I use terrible technique and it's not the technique I'm being coached, I may get, so we used a plus, 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 minus, minus, minus system. So there's two grades to each. Did you get the block and did you do it correctly with the correct technique? So if I got the block, I got the block. That's a plus, right? That's 100%. But if I use horrible technique, that's a minus. That's zero. So essentially, I got a 50% grade on that particular play, even though I got the guy blocked. It's a 50%. With them, they're just like, did he get it blocked? Yeah. All right. That's 100%. Well, what if you used crappy technique on every one of those blocks, which I can show you in abundance with 72. Well, what does that give you? It gives you a 50% grade, and all of a sudden they've got him, you know, listed as he's the highest. He's one of their highest graded offensive players for the Denver Broncos. That's preposterous.
Oh, on their projected roster for this year, their projected offense, the only guy on offense that has a higher grade than Bolsey is Cortland Sutton. He's got a higher grade than Graham Glasgow, higher than Juwan James, higher than the Cooler, higher than Lindsey, higher than Melvin Gordon. Yeah, they love them they love themselves some Bolsey.
Higher than Lindsey.
Yep.
All right. Let that sink in.
So anyway, so here's what they have. They rank the rosters. They have Baltimore number one, New Orleans two, San Francisco three,
mm-hmm.
Chiefs four, Bucks five,
mm.
Dallas six, Buffalo seventh, Tennessee eight, Philly nine, Pittsburgh 10. Cleveland 11. Cleveland. The hype just doesn't stop with the Brownies.
No.
Green Bay 12. Indy 13. And your Denver Broncos in at number 14. Ahead of the Chargers, who they have at 16. And ahead of the Raiders, who are all the way down to 25. So that flies directly in the face of what you had to say last week when we compared the rosters. We did a tale of the tape. And you came away saying, sorry, Bronco country. The Raiders and Chargers have better rosters than the Broncos. Pro Football Focus, Mark, begs to differ.
Do you have the Raiders grades, offensive line grades?
Why, yes, I do.
Okay, so can you give me their grades?
Sure.
Okay.
Remember, Bolsey, 76.1.
Okay, go ahead. Give me their grades.
Oh, this is... Get ready, folks. This ought to be good.
My head is going to about ready to
get
explode.
Ready.
Okay, go ahead.
The lowest rated is Gabe Jackson, 61.8, right guard.
Yeah, he's their best player, but that's great.
Then it's Colton Miller, their left tackle, 64.9. Our left tackle is 76.1. Theirs is 64.9.
Yeah. Colton Miller is a... Well, just a much better player than Bowles.
Trent Brown at right tackle, 69.1.
Oh, my gosh.
Rodney Hudson at center, 71. Their highest rated offensive lineman is Richie Incognito, left guard at 74. So none, Garrett Bowles is ranked higher, rated higher than all five Oakland Raider offensive linemen.
You might as well just shut down that site.
Turn it into the FCC.
Just shut that down. You should just shut it down.
They've lost all credibility in your eyes.
I'm sorry. Shut it down. That is, it's preposterous. It's the most ridiculous. I don't know, man. Go ahead. If you want to buy into that garbage, knock yourself out.
By the way, part of the reason you like the Chargers is because you believe they have a better offensive line than the Broncos as well, right?
Well, I really like the Chargers' defense, actually, right. Is where I like their defensive end. I like Derwin James is a phenomenal football player. I like the system with which they play, the simplicity of the system that they play, and I like the players they've amassed there. I like the fact that they went out and got Trey Turner from the Carolina Panthers. Because I think that guy can play.
By the way, here's something that's going to really. So I'm looking at Pro Football Focus's grades for all the offensive linemen in the entire AFC West.
Okay, this is going to be rich.
You ready for this?
Yes.
There are only two offensive linemen in the entire AFC West that have higher grades than Bolsey. Brian Bulaga, who's new, right, to
the Chargers.
He hasn't played yet for the Chargers.
No.
He signed with them. Brian Bulaga and Mitchell Schwartz, the right tackle for the Chiefs. Those are the only two linemen in the AFC West that have higher grades, according to Pro Football Focus, than Bolsey.
Well, I mean,
wow, Mark, I'm sorry. I just don't know if I can.
You can trust my.
Just don't know if I can trust you anymore. You're losing a lot of credibility in my eyes when it comes to offensive line.
Right, here's the crazy thing. Then, like, why did the Broncos refuse to pick up that fifth year or is it the fifth year option they declined?
Yeah,
like.
That's because I think they're working. They I think they work. I just think they're working on a long-term extension right now.
Yeah, I don't know why
they get announced right before training camp.
Yeah, I don't know why they wouldn't be. I mean, I'm not going to trust my lying eyes anymore. They're just not.
Hey, I was kind of on board with the idea that don't take a wide receiver in the first round, take a tackle.
Right,
but now
apparently you don't need one.
They did the right thing.
Do they actually watch?
Coffee slurp there, everybody. Down.
Do they actually? Listen. I'm befuddled. I'm perplexed.
You're rattled. You're befuddled. You're exasperated.
I told you. Oh my gosh.
He doesn't have words, folks.
The meeting I had with one coach. Who just absolutely eviscerated Pro Football Focus. And they'll fall back on, well, every team subscribes to our bull. Oh, my gosh.
Only two.
Wow.
Only two offensive, and one of them is brand new.
One of them is moving. That guy is moving from the right side to the left side. And he's never stayed healthy.
I'm sorry, Mark. I just don't know if I can listen anymore to what you have to say about offensive lines.
I am. I'm with you, man. I'm not going to listen to me either. I am. I'm going to turn over a new leaf.
All right. Mark has been left speechless, folks. That'll leave it for us. We're out of here. We turn things over at Sandy. Big O off. Sandy coming up next.
I tell you what, one of the best shows in Denver, Colorado, coming up right now. Next, it's Sandy and the Big O. Take it easy on that cigar, Big O.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.